This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
WABC New York and 107.1 WLIR Hampton Bays. It's the 77 WABC News Hour. Talking the news with Noam Layden.
All the news you need to know with Joe Nolan. Traffic, Justin Ellick, sports. And now,
talking the news with Noam
on 77 WABC.
Yes, that's me. 5 o'clock. Good morning. It is Thursday, March 21st. Your forecast from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. Clouds this morning, sunshine this afternoon, but you're going to notice right away when you walk out the door, it's cold. Than it has been. The high today going to be just 43. Tonight and overnight, clear, low 29. And then Friday, sunshine, similar type day, high 45. If you're walking out the door with us right now, 31 and clear in New Hyde Park out on Long Island. It is 25 and clear in Newton Down in New Jersey. And it is 30 and clear outside our Midtown studios right now. We are working our way up to the 6 o'clock hour. Sid and friends in the morning was watching. Mayor Adams yesterday held this press conference about turning off people's water who have not paid their water bills. And I was scratching my head thinking, if I had gone for any length of period not paying my water bill, my water would be turned off. So how is it that these corporate buildings and these hotels across the city, some of them haven't paid their bills, their water bills in years? How is it that the city doesn't enforce this and let the tap run dry? So the mayor held this very public press conference yesterday outside a hotel that had not paid its bills in an incredibly long time. There are 2,400 flagrant violators that owe a combined $102 million for unpaid water bills. Again, I point out, if you or I stop paying our water bill, they'd come for us.
When you don't pay your bill, low-income New Yorkers have to pick up the tab. That is why we don't want to increase water rates in this city. We want to keep it affordable, a penny a gallon.
Yeah, so I figure, you know, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, okay, you don't turn off the water, but a couple years. So service to their properties, they warn now, will be shut unless they pay up or enter into some sort of payment agreement. The enforcement action is targeting commercial properties, including hotels, office buildings, and homes that have not responded to bill after bill, and outreach from the DEP's outreach office.
The accounts that we're going after now, like the Hotel Hayden, are chronically and egregiously behind. Often, they just refuse to engage with us, despite numerous outreach attempts.
You have low and moderate income New Yorkers, homeowners, property owners, who are doing their share, but large commercial establishments are not doing theirs. That is not going to continue to happen.
So yesterday, the mayor stood outside the Hayden Hotel. He then, at the end of the press conference, took one of these stickers that they sometimes do, like the sheriff's office or when your car is about going to get towed, and they put it on the front window of the hotel, of the Hayden Hotel, which is on West 28th Street. It's telling them, warning them that their taps would run dry if they didn't pay their bill. So how much do they owe? $400,000. So, of course, the question you start to ask is, if they haven't paid their bills all along, how are they going to come up with the money now, $400,000 in backwater bills? But either way, again, I ask the question, if you stop paying your water bill, the water would stop running.
We're going to place a sticker on the hotel's front, and we're going to send a loud message. They consider themselves to be one of the coolest and hippest hotels in the city. There's nothing cool or hip by keeping $400,000 in outdue water bills.
Yeah, so the Draper Hotel, which is part of the Hilton's Tapestry Group, also owns the city about $300,000, as does the Dexter House on the Upper West Side. And they were asking guests coming out of the hotel, you know, the obvious question, don't you think these guys should pay their water bill?
Yeah, it's a good hotel.
Are you surprised to hear they don't pay their water bills?
A little.
If they don't pay, they're using something. So you should pay for what you're using.
Think you'll stay somewhere else next time?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I'm going to follow this story because lots of times we don't follow up in the way we should because there's so much going on in the world. I'm going to follow this and see if they really turn off the water for these hotels. In case of that one hotel that owns $400,000, you would think very soon if they don't enter an agreement, they should shut off the water for that hotel. That would wake them up. March Madness begins today. Have you filled out your bracket at WABCRadio.com? You still have time until this afternoon. The games don't start till around noon or so. So go to WABCRadio.com. You can fill out your bracket. You can look at my bracket, by the way, which I wouldn't suggest you should follow. But you can look at my bracket and compare yours to mine. If you win, if you're the one who has the most games right, you could get $500. So go over to WABCRadio.com. We do have some local teams that are, in the big dance. Now, whether they get past today, that's, well, I would say probably unlikely, but you never know. Wagner, which of course is the school out on Staten Island, they scored their way into the NCAA tournament with a win over Howard University in what they call in a play-in game. So they're ready for today. They're going to take on number one seeded North Carolina down in North Carolina.
It's a huge accomplishment for them.
Oh my God, my heart rate was like up and down, up and down, up and down, watching the last 5 minutes of the game.
They had it.
Yes, so here's the interesting thing about Wagner is so many of their players are hurt that they've only sent 7 players to play in the game today. Now, if you're not a basketball fan, normally you need 5 players, but then you need some people on the bench when people get tired or potentially hurt. They only are in this game with 7 players against North Carolina, which is considered one of the basketball schools in the country.
7 players, so so unreal, and we're just excited to be here.
This is an underdog story. Having 7 kids going out there battling against these big schools is going to be unbelievable.
Yeah, okay. It would be an incredible story if they went down to North Carolina. Today, the game, I think, is at 2:45 with 7 players, and they beat North Carolina. I wouldn't put my money on it, but stranger things have happened. And then not too far away across the river into New Jersey, St. Peter's, the Peacocks, they take on number two, Tennessee. The Peacocks are a 15th seed. They've been in this position before.
Listen, this is Peacock Nation. This is our time of the year. There's definitely a buzz, an energy around us. I know my guys are excited, so we'll be ready to play.
Okay, so St. Peter's has done this before. You'll remember they had this magical run back in 2022 when they beat Kentucky, and then they went on to make it to the Elite Eight, where they'll be able to do it again this year. I think doubtful, but there will be some upsets, and that's a great thing about watching March Madness. Again, head over to WABCRadio.com and fill out your bracket today. WABC News Time 5:10, the CDC really warning about this measles outbreak that's taking place across the country. There's not a ton of cases, but of course now spring is coming, summer's coming, people are going to start to travel. They're worried about this spreading, and people are not getting the measles vaccination like they used to.
Measles can literally cause blindness, and of course if you get pneumonia, you run the risk of dying.
That's Terry Burke. She's with the Texas-based Immunization Project. She's pushing the measles vaccine ahead of the busy summer travel season. The CDC says many countries that are favorites for American tourists are experiencing the outbreaks as well.
It's a highly contagious virus. It also spreads airborne, which means it can travel long distances. So if somebody with measles walks into a room of 100 people who are not immune, 90 of those 100 people will get measles.
Yeah. So, there was a time we didn't have these cases. We essentially eradicated measles with the vaccine, but people have become resistant to taking the vaccine or giving it to their kids. The CDC says so far this year there are 58 cases. So that number is actually higher today in 17 states. That already equals the number of cases reported in all of last year.
The danger is that when a lot of people get it, the rates are that about 1 out of 1,000 infections will lead to inflammation of the brain, encephalitis, which can have permanent effects. And about 1 in 1,000 can die.
Yeah, so they're begging you, if you haven't given your kid the shot, to roll up the sleeve and get that shot. 5:11, a manhunt underway after 3 officers were shot during an inmate escape yesterday. This was in Boise, Idaho. Boise Police Chief Ron Weingar giving the latest update.
This is a very dynamic unfolding incident, and we are searching as quickly as we can, following every lead we can, to try and get these folks into custody again as quickly as possible.
So here's what's happened. The Department of Correction officers were ambushed. They were transporting this inmate, Skylar Mead, out of a hospital. As Mead was being loaded into a van, a suspect opened fire, hitting two officers. During the chaos, another officer was shot as a result of friendly fire. Mead and this gunman, they escaped in a car. They're still on the loose this morning. All the officers, thankfully, are going to recover as this manhunt continues. 512, abortions are up in the U.S. despite recent bans in more than a dozen states since the repeal of Roe v. Wade. NBC's Dasha Burns has more.
A big part of that, medication abortion. Research from the Guttmacher Institute shows they accounted for 63% of abortions in 2023, up 10% from 2020.
The report out on Tuesday found that there were more than a million abortions nationwide in 2023, a 10% jump since 2020 and the highest number in more than a decade. We were talking about this with Frank on the other side of midnight just about an hour ago. New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez is planning to announce this week if he'll seek re-election or not. In a brief interview, he said, when you hear the announcement, you'll understand. I think it's going to come today. It comes after reports surfaced that Menendez might run as an independent. Meantime, it was just last week that a federal judge in New York declined to dismiss bribery charges against him. Prosecutors say the senator conspired with his wife and another person to act as a foreign agent of Egypt in exchange for bribe payments that included allegedly gold bars, lots of cash, a new Mercedes-Benz. Both he and his wife have pled not guilty in the case. The theory that Frank has, which seems like a reasonable one, is that he may have made, Robert Menendez, a deal with Donald Trump that if he runs as an independent, essentially, he could help the Republicans actually win a Senate seat in New Jersey, which they haven't done since the 70s. And that when Donald Trump wins the White House, if he does in November, he would then pardon Robert Menendez. Well, it's awfully interesting. We'll see if all those dots and all those things line up and they connect when Bob Menendez makes his announcement, which I think is going to come later today. 514, it continues to be a mess in Haiti. Lawmakers and faith leaders here in the city calling for action to help the people in Haiti. New York City has the second largest Haitian community in the United States. If you haven't been following this story, just chaos in the streets. Gangs have taken over the capital city. People afraid to leave their homes.
There are immediate things we can do right now. Stop the flow of guns. Stop the deportation. Give the expertise on how to stabilize the community and give the resources.
Mayor Adams joining the Reverend Al Sharpton yesterday at City Hall, calling on the federal government to step up efforts in helping with the chaos. Adams says New York City's population here, the Haitian population, of course, worried about friends and family back home.
We receive reports of members of the law enforcement community and members who have loved ones who can't get home. This is very much a New York issue.
And they've been trying to get planes out of there with Americans on board back here. Some failed attempts as the airport's open or closed. They're going to try to do it again today. So many of those people talking with loved ones here in the U.S. when they're able to communicate with them, and they say it's just hard to leave their house to go shopping. They're afraid something's going to happen with these gang members.
We're calling on this country to do all that it can do and more to deal with the crisis in Haiti.
Yeah, well, it's just a total mess today. 515, let's head over to the 77 WABC Sports Desk where we find Justin Ellis. Good morning, Justin.
Good morning, Gnome. Later. First four action concluded, I should say, last night for the NCAA men's basketball tournament. More do-or-die college ball leading into the start of round one later on today. Colorado moved past Boise State by a score of 60-53 to secure the final 10 seed, before grambling out to Montana State 88-81 to fill the final 16 seed. We'll waste no time in letting the madness ensue here with round one set to tip off at 12:15 p.m. today with 9-seed Michigan State as 1.5-point favorites against 8-seed Mississippi State. 1-seed North Carolina will be in action against our local 16-seed in Wagner College. You better cross your fingers for a miracle in that one, with the Tar Heels currently sitting as 24.5-point favorites. 15-seed St. Peter's, also repping the tri-state area, draws 2-seed Tennessee for their round one matchup scheduled for a 9:20 p.m., a tip-off tonight if you can stay awake for that one. In the NBA, no local action last night, but the Knicks and Nets are both back out there tonight. Brooklyn will visit the Bucks in Milwaukee for an 8 p.m. tip before the Knicks get going in Denver against the Nuggets at 9 p.m. In the NHL, no local action there last night either, but we got a full local slate of games to look forward to tonight. The Rangers visit the Bruins in Boston for a 7 p.m. face-off, while the Islanders simultaneously get going in Detroit against the Red Wings. And the Devils will drop a puck at 7 p.m. as well in Newark against the visiting Winnipeg Jets. Finally, we'll head to the Diamond for more Major League Baseball today in Seoul, Korea, where the Dodgers and Padres will meet for another 6:05 a.m. first pitch, a little less than an hour there. Gnome, if you want to try and catch that this morning to continue the MLB World Tour Seoul Series. One other note, Giancarlo Stanton, Yankee slugger, he had 3 home runs and 8 RBIs last night, so he's looking slim and powerful as we inch towards opening day. Late next week. And no, that's your sports. And I'm Justin Ellick on 77 WABC.
WABC News Time 519. A federal appeals court is deciding whether Texas law allowing local cops to arrest anybody they believe is in the country illegally to go into effect. The Biden administration had sued to block this. And yesterday at a summit, Texas Republican Governor Greg Abbott said the state desperately needs to be able to do this.
Texas has a right to defend ourselves, and we will use that authority to declare an invasion and fight back against that invasion.
In Wednesday's hearings, lawyers with the Justice Department pushed back against suggestions that they're failing to secure the southern border. The Justice Department argues that immigration enforcement is the sole jurisdiction of the federal government.
Even though Biden has tied this issue up in the courts, those buoys remain in the Rio Grande River as we gather here today.
Yeah, so it's been back and forth with the lower courts, the higher courts saying whether they can enforce this law to potentially arrest somebody they think is in the country illegally. That taking place as this shocking new admission from Pentagon officials that there are lots of drone interactions along the U.S.-Mexico border. And the drones are not ours. The drones are run by some of the cartels that apparently are out of Mexico.
Find out where we're at, you know, ultimately end up moving people or drugs while they're spotting where we're at.
Yeah, so that's Chris Rivera. He's with the Border Patrol Union in Texas. He says the cartels are using those drones to watch them, to watch us on the American side to see what we're up to.
They have huge amounts of money. They don't have to deal with the budget constraints like we do.
Yeah, well, the money coming in, of course, from drugs. House Speaker Mike Johnson says he had a lengthy conversation with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu yesterday. Louisiana Republican told reporters that he reiterated strong support for Israel, strong disagreement over Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer's criticism of the Prime Minister last week.
I think it is not only foolhardy, it's dangerous for him to be trying to suggest how Israel should run its domestic affairs in the midst of their conflict. So you'll see the House Republicans continue to stand forward and reiterate our support for Israel at this very critical time.
It was last week that Senator Schumer took to the Senate floor and called on Israelis to get rid of Bibi Netanyahu with new elections there. He was speaking out yesterday. Chuck Schumer was slamming Donald Trump over his remarks about Jewish Americans who vote Democratic, calling his remarks utterly disgusting and a textbook example of the kind of anti-Semitism facing Jews.
Any Jewish person that votes for Democrats hates their religion. They hate everything about Israel.
The back and forth several days ago when Schumer made those announcements about Israel, he criticized Netanyahu, the handling of the war. Now, Donald Trump pushing back, saying that Jews would be crazy not to vote Republican.
The former president's comments were utterly disgusting and a textbook example of the kind of anti-Semitism facing Jews, pushing the dangerous anti-Semitism trope of dual loyalty.
All right, well, we're talking about the 2024 race for the White House there, back between Trump and Donald Trump, Donald Trump and Senator Schumer. You had Joe Biden. He was out on the campaign trail yesterday. He will be for the next couple of days. He was in Arizona, where he was announcing more than $8 billion in grants, $11 billion in loans to tech companies.
This historic funding will use to build new semiconductor fab facilities and modernize and expand existing ones in Arizona, Ohio, New Mexico, and Oregon.
This is all about money to support the computer chip production in several different states.
They're critical to emerging technologies. They're going to power the future economy.
like artificial intelligence, quantum computing, 6G communications, and to take everything, make everything faster, lighter, smaller, and more reliable.
But maybe the biggest part of this trip and the swing out west for the president is he trying to shore up support from Latino voters, as recent polls show Donald Trump is gaining ground with that crucial voting block. So he was asking Latinos not to forget about
him. I need you. I need you badly. I need the help. Kamala and I desperately need your help.
Yeah, he's talking with Latino voters in Nevada, Arizona, Texas, some crucial swing states, too, that he says he'll need those Latino voters to put him over the top.
You're the reason why, in large part, I beat Donald Trump.
Yes.
Let's beat him again.
And while he was on that crucial trip out west, back in Washington, House Republicans pressing on with their impeachment inquiry into Biden during a congressional hearing yesterday, Kentucky Republican James Comer accused President Biden of using his political influence to make his family rich.
We have learned that Joe Biden has taken action after action to further his family's plans to get rich. He shows up to meetings, gets on phone calls, shakes hands and tells people to, quote, look after my family.
Republicans claim the president carried out an influence scheme, was involved in his family's foreign business ventures. But Maryland Democrat Jamie Raskin pushing back, arguing that nearly 20 fact witnesses in the Republican-led probe have yet to identify a single act of wrongdoing by the president.
He goes to dinners with foreign oligarchs and a Ukrainian executive paying his son millions of dollars. He gets paid with money from Chinese businessmen who he has meetings with and tells other business associates he'll see what he can do to help their situations.
There was this moment yesterday. Republicans James Comer and Jim Jordan, who are leading this impeachment inquiry into Joe Biden, refused to second a motion that was made by Democratic Congressman Jared Moskowitz, a Florida Democrat, to impeach the president in an effort to call the GOP lawmakers bluff in what he called a fake probe. That's what the Democrats are calling it. Meanwhile, Florida Senator Marco Rubio reportedly moving up on the list of candidates to be former President Trump's pick for vice president.
Multiple people told NBC News that Rubio is gaining traction, although he's far from alone. Trump said the number was around 15 last week in an interview with Newsmax. Ben Carson, Tim Scott, and Elise Stefanik are all also reportedly squarely in the mix. I'm Brian Shook.
Drug maker AstraZeneca is now going to cap out-of-pocket costs for its asthma medicine at $35 a month. That's really pretty big news for some patients who spend hundreds of dollars for the inhalers.
When we're prescribing inhalers, we have no idea what's going to happen on the pharmacy side, like how much the patient is going to end up having to pay.
Dr. Erica Gonzalez there, she's an asthma doctor in Texas. She says the cheaper cost means patients will be more likely to take the correct dosage.
Because of the proximity that we are to the border, they will go to Mexico to buy the inhalers because that's the only way they can afford the medication. If we get them on the right doses, then the chances of them actually having controlled asthma are going to be much higher, which is what we want.
AstraZeneca had been selling the medication for $645 in the U.S., but just $49 in the U.K. The Federal Reserve is going to keep interest rates unchanged now.
Markets believe we will achieve that goal, and they should believe that, because that's what will happen over time. But we stress over time.
That's the Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell, says the policy rate is likely at its peak. He also said the Fed is committed to its 2% inflation goal.
We'll see goods prices coming into a new equilibrium where they're going down perhaps not as quickly as they had been earlier this year, where housing services inflation will come back down as current market rents are suggesting will happen. They haven't really changed the overall story, which is that of inflation moving down gradually on a sometimes bumpy road toward 2%. I don't think that story has changed.
Yeah, so a lot of people are happy, some unhappy people about that. The opening bell, it rings this morning after stocks closed higher yesterday with all three major indexes notching record closes. At the closing bell, the Dow gained 401 points. S&P 500 rose by 46. NASDAQ gained 202 points. Coming up today, we'll get word on weekly jobless claims, existing home sales, and earning reports from FedEx and Nike.
It's the 77 WABC News Hour.
Talking the news with Noam Layden.
All the news you need to know with Joe Nolan, Traffic, Justin Ellick, Sports. And now,
Talking the News with Noam
on 77 WABC.
Yes, that is me, 533. Good morning. It is Thursday, March 21st. Your forecast from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. Clouds this morning, sunshine this afternoon, but you'll notice right away it's going to be a whole lot cooler. The high today, 43. Tonight and overnight, clear, low 29. And kind of the same thing tomorrow. Sunshine, high 45. If you are walking out the door with us right now, so happy you are have us on. It's 31 and clear in New Hyde Park out on Long Island. It's 25 and clear in Newton down in New Jersey. And it is 29 and clear outside our Midtown studios. We'll start this half hour out on Staten Island, which has been a long night for the people who live in the Stapleton houses on, on Staten Island is what I meant to say. It's been a long night for people living in the Stapleton houses out on Staten Island. The power's been out, so there's been no heat, no hot water, no elevators. Apparently, this happens quite often in this housing complex.
It's really dark right now, and I'm cold, and my nose is, like, just getting stuffy right now. And I'm not really feeling good right now.
I have to walk troop it up 7 flights of stairs with my asthma. I need power. I haven't had my phone charged. It's ridiculous. We've been going through this for years, for real.
So somebody had actually alerted to this on Tuesday, told us that the power was out. So as of a couple hours ago, we reached out to that person. We just got voicemail, so we don't know if that means the power's still out and the phone's out. But as of a couple hours ago, there was nothing. So we were watching as night shift workers were trying to navigate these pitch-dark buildings, try to figure out what took down the power. Night shift electricians were on the scene throughout the night trying to get the power back on. But again, as of a couple hours ago, they were still in the dark there at the Stapleton houses on Staten Island.
No electricity, no nothing.
What's that like?
It's cold. It's cold. I have to walk up 8 flights. It's aggravating.
And you can imagine how serious it is for senior citizens who can't, you know, they just can't do the stairs. They can't navigate it. One woman who lives on the 7th floor, her daughter's in a wheelchair, so they're now trapped in their home until the power gets back on there. Up in Connecticut, some frightening scenes yesterday afternoon. Nearly 30 people, including 27 high school students, 2 adults, rescued from a rowing boat that capsized in Westport. Coast Guard says they responded to reports of a recreational rowing boat that capsized. This was about 6 o'clock last night. These kids were thrown into the water. The water temperature, like about 40 degrees. Students saying it was frightening. First, let's hear from the police.
The rowing sculls began to take on water, causing 2 of them to capsize, throwing 18 individuals in the water. These individuals swam to the chase boat and began to hang on to the side of the boat, which caused the chase boat to sink as well.
Yeah, so now you had 2 boats that were tipped over. All those kids, couple adults in the water. They were trying to figure out, do we get back to shore? Shore was pretty far away. Police and firefighters from Westport, nearby towns, racing out there to get these kids out of the water.
It was really scary. I'm still kind of shaken up. It was really clean, and then really right as we spun, it got windy, and the waves were just crashing into our boat, and it was just filling up with water. It was really scary. I finally got back on the beach. I was really high. Like, we had to run back on the beach towards the trucks, and we were like falling and stuff. We couldn't really walk. It was rough.
It was. The good part is everybody's okay. They were able to rescue everybody. Parents say that the adults who were in charge did all the right things to make sure their kids in the end were safe.
Things were going really well, according to my son. And then the winds shifted. The water got choppy. They started taking on water, and they started to go down. I'm grateful that the town responded, and I'm grateful that our kids are smart, and I'm grateful that the coaching staff here has trained our kids well for when things happen.
Yeah, now they're going to try to figure out why that first boat tipped over. WABC News Time 539, the NYPD says overtime costs have surged amid the deployments into the subway, those citywide demonstrations since the October 7th attack in Israel. NYPD Commissioner Eddie Caban was going before a city council hearing yesterday, insisting that the results speak for themselves and that the overtime money is money well invested.
Before. Shooting incidents are down 16%, and murder has dropped 18.8%, while burglary has been reduced by 12.7%, and overall crime is down 1.6% citywide.
But those statistics show that there's a lot of money spent, demonstrations, overtime budget. It's about $100 million over what they thought they'd be spending at this time. That's a nearly 50% increase over what the NYPD's projections were for the beginning of 2024. City Council Speaker Adrian Adams says that's not good that they're spending so much money.
The continued spending and significant excess of the budget on overtime only intensifies concerns about the department's management of its budget and workforce.
But department officials push back. They say that officers have policed nearly 2,000 demonstrations since October 7th and that the overtime costs for the ongoing subway deployments are costing the NYPD about $2.5 million a week just in overtime alone. The transit chief, Michael Kemper, defended the deployments, admitting to the public safety chair that more outreach to the subway riders who are causing problems could make New York a whole lot safer.
If you're asking me my honest, personal, under oath opinion, more effort needs to be spent on the topic of mental health, particularly in the subway system, yes.
541, a series of jewelry store burglaries up in the Bronx has store owners there just freaking out on high alert. The NYPD's crime scene unit was on Fordham Road yesterday collecting evidence after a jewelry and phone store on East Fordham Road was hit by thieves about 4 in the morning. This is of one of about 7 or 8 jewelry stores that have been hit up just in the last couple weeks.
So now that they're hitting other stores, they've been hitting, and they still haven't catched these guys. So I don't know what's going on. I know the police doing the best, but they need, it's been like, what, 6, 7 stores?
Yeah, that's right, 6 or 7, maybe even 8 stores. The NYPD actually arrived right as the thieves were running off with stuff on Tuesday night. The robbers dropped the merchandise, so it's about $10,000 in jewelry, and raced off. Police did not catch up with them, so they're gone. It's not clear if that's the crew that's behind all these other robberies that began just a couple weeks ago.
This place is getting worse almost every day. A lot of thieves are coming around.
It sucks because it could happen to us too. It could happen to us too, and I just hope this don't keep going on. I just hope it don't happen to this store either.
Yeah, so police say the investigation into the crimes is ongoing, and they say right now it remains unclear if it's all connected. Do you remember Catherine Scalia? You may not know the name, but she was called back in the day the hot dog hooker for allegedly offering up sex and hot dogs outside her hot dog truck on Long Island. And she was only busted after an undercover officer, she offered an undercover officer sex along with his hot dogs at her hot dog truck. This was all the way back in 2013. Here's what it sounded like then.
I solicited an undercover officer. I didn't know that was going to happen. I told this guy to come to my house. I'm going to do a strip. We're going to have fun, and you're going to go home, and that's going to be the end. I didn't know I was going to be in cuffs all over the news again.
Yeah, so she was all over the news in that year. I mean, there was just one story after another. Now we haven't heard from her in a long time until, well, today. The woman infamously known as the hot dog cooker arrested yesterday for allegedly stalking a man inside a store in East Rockaway. She's accused of continuously coming to the store where this man works, exposing her breasts, and making anti-Semitic remarks. Sounds like a nice woman. The victim told police it had happened up to 15 times a day this woman was showing up over the last year. Scalia now arrested again. Not clear of what all the charges are going to be, but she will face a judge a little bit later today. Down in New Jersey, Governor Phil Murphy signing a landmark legislation to expand affordable housing for working families across the Garden State.
Because ensuring that every family has a safe, dignified place to call home, where parents can safely raise their children, and where senior citizens can live out their golden years. Those are cornerstones of the American dream.
The governor says the measures passed yesterday will streamline the process for advancing affordable housing developments across the state.
Despite this progress, we still have a lot more work to do because, among other things, New Jersey's popular, and our population is growing at a rate that continues to outpace our supply of affordable housing.
All right, 5:45, let's head over to the 77 WABC Sports Desk where we find Justin Ellick.
Thank you, Noam Layden. First four action concluded last night for the NCAA men's basketball tournament. More do-or-die college ball leading into the start of round one later on today. Colorado moved past Boise State by a score of 60-53 to secure the final 10 seed before Grambling outdueled Montana State 88-81 to fill the final 16 seed. We will waste no time and letting the madness ensue with round one set to tip off at 12:15 p.m. today with 9-seed Michigan State as 1.5-point favorites against 8-seed Mississippi State. 1-seed North Carolina will be in action against our local 16-seed in Wagner College. Better cross your fingers for a miracle in that one with the Tar Heels currently sitting as 24.5-point favorites. They're the only 1-seed in action today. 15-seed St. Peter's also repping the tri-state area draws 2-seed Tennessee for their round one matchup. Scheduled for a 9:20 p.m. tip-off tonight. In the NBA, no local action last night, but the Knicks and Nets are both back out there tonight. Brooklyn will visit the Bucks in Milwaukee for an 8 p.m. tip before the Knicks get going in Denver against the Nuggets at 9. In the NHL, no local action there last night either, but we got a full local slate of games to look forward to tonight. The Rangers visit the Bruins in Boston for a 7 p.m. face-off, while the Islanders simultaneously get going in Detroit against the Red Wings and the Devils. Drop the puck in Newark against the visiting Winnipeg Jets. That's also a 7 p.m. puck drop. Finally, we'll head to the Diamond for more Major League Baseball today in Seoul, Korea, where the Dodgers and Padres will meet for a 6:05 a.m. first pitch, about 20 minutes now this morning, to continue the MLB World Tour Seoul Series. Quick update on your Bronx Bombers as they lead into opening day next week. Giancarlo Stanton last night was the star of the game. 3 home runs, 8 RBIs. I think he hit a total of 1,200 feet of baseballs last night. No, that was the number I was seeing. So
1,200 feet, huh?
Yeah, he's looking slim and he's looking strong. And that's what we're looking for out of the big guy. Looking forward to it. Very much so. That's your sports. I'm Justin Ellick.
Wait, hold on.
What?
Today is a great day to fill out your brackets because the NCAA March Madness begins.
It's the last day to fill out. What do you mean it's a great day? It's the last day.
Is it the last day? Well, I guess it is.
Well, once the tournament starts,
I don't know.
You can't fill out a bracket.
I have copy in front of me for Friday, so I don't really understand that.
Yeah, but first of all, that copy should be saying something along the lines of,
you're too late.
Well.
Well, more importantly, is your bracket up so we can take a look at who you have on your bracket?
No, I'll put it in. I'll do like five brackets, just rapid fire, probably around 10 a.m.
All right, just give us who you have in the final.
In the final?
Mm-hmm.
Man, I don't know. I'll go. That's a good question, man. I don't know. We'll take a 2-seed. We'll take Tennessee. We'll take a 1-seed in Purdue. How about that?
All right. I think Tennessee is going to lose to St. Peter's today. But all right.
But I don't even know. You're sneaking up on me with these kinds of questions.
A little peacock power is going to happen. Tennessee's going to go down. So
I guess. We'll see.
All right.
Back to you.
By the way, go over to WABCradio.com. You can fill out your bracket right now. $500 on the line if you are the one who picks the most winners. And you can look and see who everybody else here at WABC has picked for their bracket. So head over to WABCradio.com. Let's catch you up on some of the big stories of the morning. New York City now going to go after people who are not paying their water bills. With shutoff notices, the mayor standing outside a hotel that hasn't paid its water bill in a long time yesterday, saying that they're going to let the tap run dry there if they don't pay their bills.
When you don't pay your bill, low-income New Yorkers have to pick up the tab. That is why we don't want to increase water rates in this city. We want to keep it affordable, a penny a gallon.
The enforcement action targeting commercial properties, including some hotels, office buildings, and homes that have not responded to the DEP's outreach efforts to pay the bill.
The accounts that we're going after now, like the Hotel Hayden, are chronically and egregiously behind. Often, they just refuse to engage with us, despite numerous outreach attempts.
Yeah, so the mayor stood outside the Hayden Hotel for this press conference yesterday. It's a hotel, West 28th Street. They owe $400,000 in back water bills. So, sort of amazing. How do they keep the tap on if they owe so much money? So the mayor, of course, asking that question, too, as he stood outside this hotel yesterday.
We're going to place a sticker on the hotel's front, and we're going to send a loud message. They consider themselves to be one of the coolest and hippest hotels in the city. There's nothing cool or hip by keeping $400,000 in outdue water bills.
So the Hayden Hotel is not alone. There's about $101 million in owed water bills that have just not been paid. The Draper Hotel, which is part of the Hilton's Tapestry Group, they owe the city about $300,000. So does the Dexter House on the Upper West Side. And you have people who are staying at some of these hotels saying, wow, they were surprised that the hotel that they've paid for a night or two to stay at hasn't paid their water bill.
Yeah, it's a good hotel.
Are you surprised to hear they don't pay their water bills?
A little.
If they don't pay, they're using something. So you should pay for what you're using.
Think you'll stay somewhere else next time?
Absolutely.
Now, of course, I asked the question I asked very early this morning was, if you and I didn't pay our water bill for a couple months, my guess is our tap would be dry already. Lawmakers, faith leaders here in the city gathering, trying to see what they can do to help people back in Haiti. If you haven't followed this story, the Caribbean nation falling into chaos. Gangs have taken over. The prime minister has resigned. So Mayor Adams joining the Reverend Al Sharpton yesterday, trying to figure out how they can help people who are trapped there, Americans trapped there, get back home. There are a few thousand thought to still be trapped in Haiti who want to get out, American citizens. They've tried to get planes out, been successful a little bit, but there were a couple planes that were supposed to leave yesterday that did not get off the ground. New York has the second largest Haitian community in the United States, so you have lots of people here who are watching the events incredibly closely.
There are immediate things we can do right now. Stop the flow of guns, stop the deportation, give the expertise on how to stabilize the community, and give the resources.
Yeah, so they're going to try to do what they can to help out with the chaos there. A little more from the mayor.
We receive reports of members of the law enforcement community and members who have loved ones who can't get home. This is very much a New York issue.
So the American Embassy is actually telling Americans trapped there to fill this online form out. So they just know that they're even trapped because they don't know exactly how many Americans are in Haiti today. And then they say, once you fill out that form, apparently pretty easy to fill out, they'll try to come and find you or get contact you so you can get on a plane to come back home. The Reverend Al Sharpton taking part in this press conference yesterday.
We're calling on this country to do all that it can do and more to deal with the crisis in Haiti.
Yeah, so just a terrible scene there. Hearing from families here in New York who are trying to make contact with family in Haiti, have been unable to. And when they have, they say those families tell them they're afraid to leave their homes to go to a grocery store that may not even be open. But if it is, they're afraid to go because they're afraid these gang members will take them out if they leave their house. So just a mess in Haiti today. Let's bring it back home. There's been a big push to renew and expand New York City's red light camera program. I bet you're happy to hear that. DOT Commissioner Yiannis Rodriguez said red light cameras save lives, but there are some limits under state law.
Currently, these cameras are only allowed at 150 locations. Think about that. 150 locations in a city with more than 13,700 intersections.
What was that? Was that him coughing at the end?
Intersection.
No, that was you coughing? That was weird. Where did that come from? Okay. A new report shows that red light cameras reduce the number of drivers who run lights by 73%. City leaders were joined in demanding the changes today by families of David Fernandez and Joel Adams, who were killed in 2022 when a car did blow through a red light in Inwood.
There are so many families that have been impacted. The time is now to act to make sure that we can prevent these deaths. We know that these cameras deter people from running red lights.
But here's the problem with red light cameras, and maybe you've had this as well. You get that notification maybe on your app when you're using it in the car. In my case, I use Waze. It'll say red lights coming up. And I never know. Am I supposed to speed up through the yellow light, slow down? It can be confusing. And, of course, you feel for these families who lost loved ones by people who blew through an actual red light.
We honestly believe that if there would have been a red light camera here, both Joel and David would be alive.
Yeah, I mean, just awful.
We can't get our brothers back. What we can do is that we could be part of change. And that's what we're here today. And I hope that, you know, people can hear us out. And we hope that we can be part of that change.
Yeah, there's no two ways about it. There is a lot of evidence that shows that these red light cameras have been saving lives across the city. Let's end on a much lighter note. A skier at Mammoth Mountain, California, miscalculating how a wild coyote would react to his offer of friendship. In this video, this man walks up to this wild wild coyote who he sees on the ski slopes, and he tries to talk to him like a dog, you know. And well, you might guess it didn't go very well.
Come here. It's cold, I know. You're freezing. You got a lot of fur, though. Ow! Son of a got me. Ow!
I mean, really?
Coyotes?
I mean, what do you expect? You're going up to a wild animal. It's not a dog. Of course, the coyote bit him. He's okay. So just lesson that, you know, a wild animal is a wild animal.